So in the 9th chapter of Esther, it says, if you want a photocopy, there's one for you on the back. He says, Lasos osam yimei mishta v'simcha u'mishloach monos ish l're'ehu u'matonis levyonin. So when you think about it, it seems like these are days of mishta, simcha. And the Gemara Megillah says that when Esther and Mordechai sent the people of Israel, will you accept upon yourselves this commemoration of Purim? So the response they got was the following. Hesped v'taydis kibu alayha. They were willing to accept upon themselves that these days should be prohibited in hesped and taynis. No eulogies, no fasting, but malacha lo kiblu alayhu. But even though originally it was meant to be a day of yontif in the full sense, yontif means you're not allowed to do malacha, that they weren't willing to accept upon themselves.
Why? They accepted the
Arafah. That's what we're going to try to figure out today. Why? Is there a specific reason why they didn't want to accept upon themselves Issa malacha? Now, till we get to the answer to that question, it might be time for Myrish. But we're going to try in the next 60 minutes, you know, to fit it all in. The Gemara says that initially when Esther and Mordechai sent out the letter to the people of Israel, it says that these days should be days of Simcha, Mishta, and Yontif. But at the end of the Megillah, it says, Lasso sosam yimei Mishta v'simcha. And one phrase is missing, Yontif Loksiv. It doesn't say that they accepted upon themselves Yontif. So Mordechai wanted to establish a day of Yontif with an Isur Malacha, a full-fledged Yontif. But Klal Yisrael didn't accept that. And the question is, why didn't they accept that? We also would like to know, what about this Takana of Mordechai, of Matanis Levyonim? Why on this holiday did this mitzvah, which is really a mitzvah the whole year round to help support the poor people, why did it come to the fore specifically with regard to Purim? Now, what we're about to embark upon in the next paragraph is a very famous insight of the Ari. Does anybody know where the Ari lived and when he lived?
Tiberias.
Not in Tiberias, you're close. Tiberias. In the north, in Tzfat. Right, the Arizal lived in Tzfat. How many years ago? 500 years ago. So I don't know if this sefer is so old, but
not that old.
If we had a first copy of the Ari's writings, he didn't write that much, then we would have something of great value.
That would be worth
500 years ago.
That would be worth a couple of million dollars.
Yeah, I don't know that much, but it would definitely be worth a lot of money. So the Gaon has a pirish on Megillus Esther in which he quotes the Arizal. The Arizal says the following, that we have a holy day on the Jewish calendar, it's the holiest day of the year, that's called what? Yom HaKippurim. And the Arizal says, Yom HaKippurim, take the word Kippurim, separate the Chaf from the Purim, and it becomes Kippurim. That Yom Kippur is like Purim. So the Gaon wants to figure out what the Arizal meant. You know, when you think about it, Yom HaKippurim and Purim are sort of antithetical. There are two opposite ends of the spectrum, because Yom Kippur is a day in which we fast and we afflict ourselves, and Purim is a day of happiness and joy and eating and drinking. So the Vilna Gaon, do we have an extra copy from Binyamin of the printout? Okay. So Binyamin, I'm just going to reiterate the last question that we asked just before you came in, so you'll be on board with us. The Arizal says that you take the word Yom Kippurim, and what you do is you separate the Chaf, spread it out a little bit from Purim, and it's Kippurim. So the Vilna Gaon wants to understand, what's the connection between Purim and Yom HaKippurim? They seem to be absolutely opposites. Mm. So in the paragraph that starts Vehine on your bottom right, on the third line, he says, Ubir Bazeh Agra, So the Vilna Gaon explains that on every Yontif, we have something called Chetzil Hashem veChetzil Lachem, which means that we take the day of Yontif and we split it into two. Parts of the day we spend Lashem, Lashem meaning in Tefillah, we go to Shul, we daven in Kriyas HaTorah, we study Torah, and the other half of the day is Lachem, that's for eating and drinking. However, in Yom Kippur, we're missing this tzura, this approach of Yontif, because on Yom Kippur, since we cannot have Chetzi Lachem, all we have is Kul Hashem. So Yom Kippur is now deficient, because as a Yontif, all it has is Lashem. It doesn't have the element of Chetzio Lachem, correct? So he says, Al Kain Ba Hashlama. We need a Hashlama. We need to supplement that which is deficient in Yom HaKippurim. And how are we going to do so? Al Yidei Purim. Because Purim is not Chetzio Lashem, but rather Purim is Kulo Lachem. So Yom HaKippurim is Kul Hashem. And Yom Purim is what? Is Kul Lachem. When we put it together, we can make one entity, and that entity is really Chetzi Hashem and Chetzi Lachem. So in the language of the Gaon, he says the following, Al Yidei Tzirufam, by integrating both Yom HaKippurim with Purim, Notzra, what's created here is Hashlemus Shel Mechza Hashem Umechza Lachem. That's the approach of the Gaon, and that's how he makes sense out of this concept of the Arizal of Yom HaKippurim Kippurim. We would like to understand, how does this fit in? Because the Gemara says in Psachim on Daf Samaches, in the name of Rav Yosef, Hakol Modu Bipurim to be in a Nami Lachem. Why is it that with regard to Purim, everybody agrees? In other words, there's a Shita in the Gemara that you can have on any Yontif. You could decide whether you want to have Kula Lachem or Kula Hashem. You could have a Kula Hashem. But even he would agree that with regard to Purim, we need Lachem. My Taima, you may Mishte V'Simcha. The Torah, the Tanakh says about Purim that these are days of Mishte and Simcha. So everybody has to agree that's essential to Purim to have the Lachem of Purim. Now, what does he mean when he says Hakol modim bepurim to be in a nami? What is the word nami lachem? After all, on Purim it's all lachem. So what does it mean nami? But according to the Gaon, nami means that in addition to the Yom HaKippurim, we have another day that makes up this 2-day holiday, that's called Purim. And everybody agrees that Purim also adds an element of lachem. So the first element of this 2-day holiday, which again is spread out on the calendar, is Kula Lashem, and the second element requires Lachem. And together, they make up Chetzi Lashem and Chetzi Lachem.
And how did the Matanis Levyonim and Mishloach Menasa Chetzi Lachem?
Because the whole purpose of Matanis Levyonim and Mishloach Manos is to get everyone involved in the Suda and the Mishteh. So I give you part of my Mishteh, and if you're an Evyon, I give you money to buy food for your Mishteh. So we're all involved in Simcha and in Mishteh. Now in the next paragraph, he quotes Rav Yitzchak Hutner, who is the author of the Pachad Yitzchak, who says that one of the sources of the Vilna Gaon is the Gemara that says that Yontif lo kibla alayhu, that they never accepted Purim as a day of Isur Malacha. And he says, why? Right, that was our question from before. Why didn't they accept Purim as an Isur Malacha? Is it because they didn't have the chashivas of Purim? They didn't think that Purim was significant enough, valuable enough, that it deserves an Isur Malacha like Yontif? No, on the contrary. What they wanted to do is make sure and guarantee that Purim would be Kulo Lachem. And if it would be an Isur Malacha, then it wouldn't be Kulo Lachem. You'd be frozen, so to speak, and you couldn't enjoy the Mishteh and the Simcha because of the Isur Malacha. So it means that the perfect celebration of Purim, insofar as Purim is fashioned as a day that's Kulo Lachem, is Dafka if there won't be an Isur Malacha. If there would be an Isur Malacha, it wouldn't be Kulo Lachem. Now I'd like you to turn to the other side of the page. In the Yalkut Shimoni, in Parshas Chukas, which is a collection of Midrashei Chazal, there's an insight into Amalek. When does Amalek come and appear on the scene to attack the people of Israel? According to the Yalkut, Amalek is what we call Makas Mardus. What it means is that when the Jewish people are not on the straight path, and there's some element of rebellion, chas v'shalom, against God, at that point, Hashem gives us a makkah. And that makkah, that's going to be in the form of Amalek. And the Medrash goes through a number of cases in Jewish history where Amalek came to attack the Jewish people. And always, you'll see consistently that before Amalek comes, the people of Israel are rebellious. For example, the very first time that Amalek comes to attack the Jewish people is when the Jewish people are complaining about the dire conditions of the wilderness, until the point where they say, Ayesh Hashem bekirbenu, is God amongst us? At that point, Vayavo Amalek. Also, in Parshas Chukas, it says, Vayiru kol ha'edah ki gova Aaron. Aaron died, and at that point, the people of Israel were afraid of the Canaanim, and they said, Nitna rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. Once they declared, let's go back to Mitzrayim in a rebellious mood, Vayirin Hamaleki, Amalek came down. And now he gives us an insight into why Amalek is so motivated to attack the Jewish people. Amalek, as you know, is the descendant of whom? Esav. No, Haman is the descendant of Amalek. But Amalek himself is a grandson of Esav. Omar Esav, La Amalek. Esav tells his descendant Amalek, Kama Yogati Larogas Es Yaakov Lo Nitan Biyodi. I worked very hard to try to murder Yaakov, but I never was successful. Tein datcha, you put in your mindset, you put in the energy and figure out Ligvos Nikmasi to collect my revenge, so to speak, against Yaakov Avinu. In other words, Esav gave a command to Amalek to take revenge against Yaakov. And when will Amalek be given the power to do so? By Hashem? When it's a makas mardus. Whenever we deserve a patch, so to speak. We deserve to be punished for a certain mardus. We see something similar in the Psikta Zutroi, in Parshas B'Shalach, on the Pasuk Vayovei Amalek, Ma Ra Amalek Lavo Lilachim in Yisrael. What motivates Amalek to attack the Jewish people? Kedei Linkom Nikmas Esav's Keno. In order to collect and take vengeance on behalf of their grandfather Esav. Dichsiv, the Torah tells us, and this is after Yaakov Avinu takes the brachos, Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al habracha sher bircho aviv. Esav is harboring a hatred against Yaakov because he, Yaakov, had taken the brachos from his father. We see the same thing in other midrashim, in Parshas Ki Teitze. It says that asher karcha baderech, that Amalek attacks us when we're on the way. Why should his damin lecha linkom nikmas avi aviv dechsiv vayistom Esav es Yaakov amar bo ha'es linkom nikmas kenenu. Esav always declares this is the opportunity, this is the right moment to take revenge against the children of Yaakov for what Yaakov did to our grandfather Esav. And in the bracha, we have a piyut at the end of Megillas Esther, after the Megillah reading called Asher Heini. And there it says, Haman hodia evas avosav, v'orer sinas achim libonim. Haman hayanetzar zidon zera amolek, hodia evas esav ve'amolek, v'orer sinas esav liyakov libonov. Again, the same idea that Amalek, as an offspring of Esav, is coming to take revenge for the hatred of Esav against Yaakov because Yaakov took the brachos. Okay, now Yaakov took the brachos, and therefore Esav hates Yaakov, and this is going to plant the seeds of hatred for all generations to come, and especially in the form of Amalek. Let's go back to the original story of Yaakov and Esav, and get a picture as to why Yaakov is harboring such hatred, why Esav is harboring such hatred against Yaakov. The pasuk says, in the beginning of Parshas told us, it says, Vayisrotzitzu abonim bekirba. Rashi says, Misrotzitzim, the two babies in the mother's womb are fighting, ze im ze, umerivim benachas shnei olamim. They are fighting over two worlds. What does that mean, two worlds? So if you go back to the source of Rashi, which is in the Medrash, it says, "Hayucholkim b'shvil olam hazev v'olam haba." They were fighting over these two worlds. What does it mean they were fighting over these two worlds, this world and the next? So on the pasuk, "Vayomer Yaakov michra michra kayomis b'choras chali." Please sell me today your b'chora. The Medrash says, "K'shahaya Yaakov v'Esav b'mei iman," when they were both in their mother's womb. There are two worlds in front of us. Olam hazeh v'olam haba. Olam hazeh yesh bo achila shesia. There's eating, there's drinking in this world, there's masumatan, you can make a lot of money in this world. Lisa isha, laholid banim, ubanos. It's a tremendous possibility for a lifetime of pleasure, of enjoyment, of comfort. Olam haba. Ein bo es kol midos halolu. In the next world, you don't have all these physical pleasures and involvements. Ritzoncha, if you'll agree, tol ata olam hazeh, let's make a fair split of these two worlds. You take this world, vani etol olam haba. And this way you'll get the benefits of this world. Shenemar, michra kayom es b'choros chali. Kimo oso ayom shayu bebeten iman. And it means kayom, today, like we agreed upon back when we were two embryos. Miyad, at this point, kofar Esav betchias hamesim. Esav is not interested in the world to come. Shenemar Esav declares, hine anochi olech lamus. I'm going to die. What's it worth for me, this bechora? Be osa shah notal Esav chelko be olam hazeh v'Yaakov notal chelko be olam haba. So at this point we have a very agreeable split, right? And Esav's going to take this world, Yaakov the next. But kshaba Yaakov be based love on. But you remember when Yaakov, after the whole story of the Nakudim, Nakudim, and Vrudim, Vrudim, Yaakov becomes very wealthy. He comes back from Beis Lavan, and Ra Esav Banim, Ubados, Havadim, Ushvachos, he sees that Yaakov Avinu is living it up. He's got children, he's got wives and children, he's got servants, he has plenty of cattle and plenty of sheep. Amale, Yaakov Achi, my brother Jacob, lo kacha martali, didn't we have an agreement? Shetitol ata olam haba, vani etol olam hazeh. I was meant to get olam hazeh. Minayin lecha kol hamomen hazeh shetismach. How are you so rich with possessions and you're so happy? Is hirir Esav bedaito. Esav began to think, ma ha'olam hazeh she'eino chelko nasa lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharo. It must be that God has bestowed upon Yaakov a reward and given him even olam hazeh. Olam haba chelko alachas kama v'kama. As far as olam haba is concerned, that I understand very well, that's Yaakov's portion. But as far as Olam Hazeh, why is Yaakov enjoying the benefits of Olam Hazeh? Why is he wealthy and comfortable, full of children and so forth in this world? It must be that Hashem gave him schar, that God rewarded him and gave him Olam Hazeh. Miyad Amar Esav, Ritzoncha bo v'nasa shutfus, tolato chatzi Olam Hazeh v'chatzi Olam Haba. So Esav now approaches Yaakov with the following proposition. Why don't we split both worlds? I'll take half of this world and the next, and you take half of this world and the next. Because Esav is realizing that at this point Yaakov is getting both worlds. Avalei Yaakov, Bonai Rachim. All of a sudden Yaakov says, my children are very sensitive, they're very young, and I got to get out of here. You know, I got to travel away. Einam yecholim lamod b'nisayon. And basically what happens is that Yaakov rejects the proposition of Esav. He's not willing to split Olam Haba, and he wants to take Olam Haba for himself and for his descendants. Is Mavur Mizeh. We see clearly that Yaakov Esav hayu merivin benachla shnei olamos, lahem ulizarim ledorosam. The battle, the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav is about the two worlds for all generations to come. Yaakov takes Olam Haba as his portion. Esav is meant to take Olam Hazeh. When Yaakov gets Esav to agree to sell the Bechora, included in that is that, number one, Esav sells Yaakov Olam Haba, and this is in as a barter and as an exchange for Yaakov's Chelik in Olam Hazeh. But again, Yaakov is given a reward of Olam Hazeh as well as Olam Haba. In the next paragraph, he quotes the Sfarno in Parshas Toldos. Vayomer bo achicha b'mirma. Yitzchak declares and tells Esav that your brother came and he tricked me. Vayikach b'choroscha. Says the Sfarno, Osa bracha shahaisa re'uya lachal alecha shahaisa binyane olam hazeh. You were meant, Esav, to receive this bracha, the benefits of this world. Your brother came and he took those brachas away from you. Hainu, she Yaakov al yedei lekichas ha-bechora, when Yaakov gets the bechora, and that was part of the deal, lokach, he takes not only the blessings of Olam Haba, but even the blessings of Olam Hazeh. And the reason for that is the blessings of Olam Hazeh belong to the bechor, but now Esav has agreed to sell his portion as a Bechor. Now we're going on to page Shin Lamed Ches. And he says the following, Keva de Yitzchak Choshev she Yaakov HaBechor. Yitzchak was under the misimpression that Yaakov was the Bechor, is Bircho. He blessed him, he bestowed upon him the blessings of Olam Hazeh. Vayomer, Hachi Kora Shmo Yaakov. Hachi Kora Shmo Yaakov. Vayakveni ze pamayim es Bechorasi lokach. Vihine ato lokach birchasi. Yaakov took the bechora, and now he took the blessings. So what does it mean? He took the bechora, he took Olam Haba, and now he's also taking the blessings of Yitzchak, and he's gaining Olam Hazeh as well. So the Kli Yaakov says, Lama Amar shal lokach habechora beikva uremia v'lo machra lo miratzon tov. What does Esav have the right to claim that Yaakov fooled him and tricked him by taking the Bechorah? After all, Esav agreed to sell the Bechorah. V'yem Esav b'shat nefesh biza ha-Bechorah. Esav, it says, v'yiva is Esav as ha-Bechorah. After he sold it to Yaakov, he even insulted the Bechorah. It's not significant to him. Is ma pisho shel Yaakov b'zeh? Why does he blame Yaakov for that when he himself agreed to sell the Bechorah?
Amen.
Says the Kli Yaakov, She'amar, this is what Esav is declaring. Ata nodoli, now I understand. Ki mekach tozu, the whole deal was based on a false premise, because I thought that the bechora is only relevant to Olam Haba, to spirituality, and therefore I was willing to sell the bechora. Ki imash nodol pishnayim achrei mos avi v'chashavti shema lo yishar. Avi achrov mi uma lo yasher avi achrov mi uma al kema chartiv b'domer muot. Now, I didn't expect to get too much from the bechora, so I was willing to sell it for a cheap price. But achshav ani roesh habechora shava harbe. I see that the Bechorah is really worth a lot more than I underestimated its value. Fisha Bechorah Habrachos Tluyos Ba. And look at the beautiful blessings that Yaakov that Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov. Ki lama amar Yaakov ani Esav bechorecha. Apparently, if Yaakov came in to get those blessings and he presented himself as the bechor, lama lo lahazkir habechora. Why does he mention the bechor? Elavadi lefisha mitzad habechoru roy li yeser seis viaz ubaze yakveni ki lo yadati shekibalti shekabolas habrochas tuya bechora. Apparently, the fact that Yitzchak has this whole bag full of blessings, and he's going to give it to the Bechor. And I didn't realize, says Esav, that I could have had those blessings as the Bechor. So when I sold the Bechorah, little did I know what was going on. Siakveni zeh pamayin. And we can explain the following. That when Esav agrees to sell the Bechorah, included in that sale is Olam Haba. And in return, in exchange, he gets from Yaakov to Olam Hazeh. Now, Esav is declaring, Vayakveni, the Ashav Ani Ro'eh, now I realize that Af HaBrocha Shal Olam Hazeh, even the Brochas of Olam Hazeh belong to the sale of Bechorah. Notice what I sold was not only my Olam, my portion in the next world, but I sold my rights to get the Brochos of a Bechor in Olam Hazeh. Those were the Brochos of Yitain Lecha, etc., that Yitzchak bestows upon the Bechor, meaning upon Yaakov, thinking that Yaakov is the Bechor. Ratzalomer, Lemishi Eishlo Chelik Shal Olam Abba, whoever gets the Chelik in Olam Abba, he's the Bechor for Olam Abba, he also gains Olam Hazeh. And that's what we saw before in the Medrash, that when Yaakov comes from Beis Laban, and Esav says to him, where do you have all this money from? And didn't we agree that you should get Olam Abba and I would get you should get Olam Abba and I would get Olam Hazeh? At that point, Esav began to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to Yaakov Avinu not just Olam Abba, but even Olam Hazeh. Even though that wasn't really the chelek that Yaakov Avinu purchased from Esav, but apparently since he purchased the whole Gantz of Bechorah as one entity, he also gets the rights to the brachos of Olam Hazeh.
Package deal.
And this is what the psikta means when it says v'yitein lecha l'kib mital, yitein lecha ba'olam hazeh, v'yitein lecha ba'olam haba. In other words, even though the original chalukah, the division between, you know, of all the worlds between Esav and Yaakov was meant to be that Yaakov would only get olam haba, nevertheless, he's going to receive olam hazeh as well. And that's called the bracha of Yitzchak of v'yitein lecha. And that becomes a reward for Yaakov Avinu, that he's able to achieve the Bechorah, as you say, a package deal, even the Olam HaZeh aspects of the Bechorah. And Lekach, and therefore, Vayistom Esav es Yaakov. Esav is harboring anger. Yaakov, you're such a chutzpin yak. You know, not only did you take Olam Abba, okay, fine, I agreed to give you Olam Abba, but on the condition that I would get in return Olam Hazeh, and now you took the brachos and you fooled me, and by taking the brachos you are taking not only Olam Haba but also Olam Hazeh. The Yaakov al yedei lekichas Olam Haba kibel Olam Hazeh begeder schar me'akadosh baruch hu af shezelo chelko, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to set up the events and engineer it and orchestrate it in such a way that Yaakov Avinu would take the brachas of Olam Hazeh as well as Olam Haba and achieve the entire package of the Bechorah. Is Esav sasam osav al zeh sherima osav v'choshav im ha'olam hazeh rak schar is Olam Haba sheichelko alachas kama v'kama. How much can Yaakov take over? He takes not only the blessings, but he takes Olam Haba. He wants to get both. Is Esav Ratzalasu Shutfis in Yaakov? Maybe we can make a deal here. And why don't we split everything down the middle? I'll get half of Olam Hazeh. You'll get half of Olam Hazeh. The same with regard to Olam Haba. Yaakov lo hiskim l'zeh. Yaakov checks out and he says, I'm not willing to accept that proposal. And this is the root of this sin of the hatred of Esav to Yaakov. Yaakov takes not only his chelik in Olam Haba, but he receives Olam Hazeh as well, we'll call it schar, that's the reward that Hashem grants and bestows upon Yaakov, that he'll get even Olam Hazeh, and Esav lost his chelik in Olam Haba, and now Esav wants to get a shutfus in the Olam Hazeh and the Olam Haba of Yaakov, and Yaakov doesn't agree to do so, and therefore Esav harbors this anger against Yaakov Avinu. So when we see that Amalek is given the command by his grandfather Esav to avenge against the children of Yaakov Avinu because of the ripoff, so to speak, of Yaakov from Esav, that Esav ends up with absolutely nothing. He doesn't get all of Abba because that he sold with the fullness of his heart. But little did Esav know that Yaakov would, in addition to Olam Haba, he would also get what? Olam Hazeh. Vehine, he says, if you take a look at the Yalkut at the end of Parashas Beshalach, Eliphaz turns to Amalek, who is his son. So Eliphaz is the son of Esav, and the grandson is Amalek. Beshash Amalo Abba, Mi Yoresh Olam Hazeh V'Olam Haba. Amalo B'nei Yisrael Yorshim HaOlam Hazeh V'Olam Haba, that the children of Yaakov Avinu, the B'nei Yisrael, will receive both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Say Lachpar Lehem Be'eros Haskem Lehem Adrochim V'Yimtasa Kein Yeh Chelkecha Im HaPchusim Shebahem V'Tovol Olam Haba. In other words, Eliphaz gives a piece of advice to his son Amalek, and he says to him, look, at this point, B'nai Yisrael are taking everything, the whole pot. They're getting not only Olam Haba, but also Olam Hazeh as well. So you know what? Maybe at this point, you should be subservient to Yaakov and B'nai Yisrael, and do whatever you can to help them, you know, dig irrigation wells for them and set up bridges for them and highways for them and work hard for them, and then maybe you'll get a chelek of their Olam Haba. So Eliphaz gives this Eitzah to Amalek, even though again Esav himself sold his Olam Haba, but maybe, says Eliphaz, we can still get at least a portion if we hang on to Bnei Yisrael. Maybe we could get a little bit of a portion of Olam Haba if we help the Bnei Yisrael and allow them to dedicate themselves to Torah, to serve Hashem. And the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosid Lovo is gonna say that whoever dedicated himself to Torah study should now receive his reward. And all the nations of the world come forward and they claim, we helped Klal Yisrael to study Torah because we built the bridges and we built the irrigation tunnels and everything else. L'kach, anu tzrichim l'kabel schar olam haba. We also get a share in the Torah of the Jewish people. But Amalek lo asakein. Amalek decides they're not going to take the Eitzah of Eliphaz. They're not going to be willing to help Bnei Yisrael. They harbor all that resentment and hatred against Klal Yisrael. El yotza lahachrim es ha'olam kulo. And they go to bring down the entire world. This, by the way, this concept that Esav wants to bring down the entire world because of their hatred of the Jewish people is very similar to what we find by Shimshon HaGibor. You remember when he says, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. He himself is willing to die as long as he can take down the Plishtim. So therefore, Vayova Amalek Vayilochem. Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rasha, Ani Yitzarticha. And I'm going to punish you and declare that Kimacho Emche, that as a result of your hatred for the Jewish people, because they took your Chelek and Olam Haba, you want to destroy the whole world. Di'im Klal Yisrael Lo Yikablu HaTorah, your hope and your agenda is to destroy the Jewish people and make it impossible for them to receive the Torah. And then as a result, Lo Yeheshum Kiyum Li'olam, there's no justification to keep the world going. Is Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim, the Amalekim declare that we'd be willing to give up everything as long as the Jewish people will go down. Even though they realize that if the Jewish people go down, the whole world is going to go down with them. But lo ichpas lahem, they don't care. Even if the whole world will be charev, will be desolate, will be destroyed, nevertheless, this is our desire. We want to destroy the Jewish people, even if it means that we'll be destroyed together with the entire world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Amalek, not only are you denied a portion in the world to come, but you'll be destroyed in this world as well. Macho emcha es Amalek. God says, I have a divine promise that I will destroy Amalek. Because Amalek wants to destroy Yaakov, and that means Olam Abba. Amalek wants to destroy Yaakov, and that means that the entire Olam Hazeh is going to be gone. And therefore, Amalek, not only am I taking away from you Olam Abba, I'm going to take away from you Olam Hazeh, and you will be destroyed. The bottom line of everything that we've seen until now is that Melchemes Amalek, the battle of Yaakov Avinu, the battle of Amalek against Yaakov Avinu, is because Yaakov Avinu takes his chelik of Olam Abba. Esav is meant to take his chelik, which is Olam Hazeh. But Eina Rotza Shiel Yaakov Gam Olam Hazeh. Esav doesn't want to allow Yaakov Avinu to have Olam Hazeh. And that's what Amalek is going to do. Amalek is going to try to destroy the Jewish people from both Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba. Esav can't understand, he can't tolerate that. How can the Jewish people take not only Olam Abba, but they also are taking Olam Hazeh? How is Yaakov so rich and so full of possessions? I can't tolerate that. And throughout the generations, the Bnei Esav, especially the Amalekim, they are going to try to destroy the Jewish people because of this hatred. Umehai taima yesh lomar shegazru shlolam lavos. Do you remember that when Haman comes to present his proposal to Achashverosh that we do away with the Jewish people, he says to Achashverosh, we'll take all the booty, we'll take all the possessions of Klal Yisrael, and we'll confiscate them, and we'll dedicate them to the king's treasury. And that's a very important part of the program and the agenda of Amalek, because they're really jealous and angry about the fact that Yaakov takes Olam Hazeh. So therefore they have to take away the Olam Hazeh from Yaakov. That's called Shlolam Lavos. And that's a major part of the Gzeirah of Haman, of Amalek, of Shlolam Lavos. And that we saw in the Megillas Esther. We'll see it also a second time in the Birchas Hodah of the Al HaNisim. If somebody could open up to the Al HaNisim here. I'll do it myself. You'll see there, also it says Ushlom Lavos. Am I right?
Yes.
Let's just see it inside.
I think it's even the last words.
Here it is. It says here, Bikesh, right, Sha'amar Aleim, Ahamar Arosha, Bikesh Lahashmid Lahar, etc. And then it says, Shlosha sar lechodesh, shneima sar lechodesh hador, ushlolam lavos. Why shlolam lavos, both in Megillas Esther and in the Hodav Al HaNisim, so high profile? Because that's the jealousy and the hatred of Amalek for the fact that the Jewish nation has Olam Hazeh. They have no right to Olam Hazeh. We made a deal. We gave them Olam Abba, now they took Olam Hazeh. V'im came. Now we begin to see what Purim is all about. Purim is a day on which we want to declare, we want to demonstrate that Klal Yisrael got Olam Hazeh. And despite the hatred and the plans and the programs of Amalek to rip away from us the Olam Hazeh, we still have the Olam Hazeh. And therefore, Nikba Shiyeh Kulo Lachem. This day is going to be completely Lachem. Why Lachem? Why Achil and Shasiya? These are elements of what? Olam Hazeh. Yeah. And here's the declaration. We have Olam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Olam Hazeh. And we're going to celebrate that on Purim. We're going to commemorate our Chelik in Olam Hazeh. That's going to be Kul Olachem. And once Amalek comes to battle against Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mocho Simcha, destroy Amalek, destroy them in this world, It means shelakhu mimenu chelko v'nitan liYaakov. If we are going to destroy Amalek in this world, then this world is going to go to Yaakov. So this is the day of Purim, which is established as a day of Olam Hazeh, to demonstrate that since they tried to take away our Olam Hazeh, destroy us, we will be Yoresh, we will inherit Olam Hazeh. Now we understand why the Jewish people, as we saw in the Pakat Yitzchok, did not want to accept the day of Purim as a day of Isur Melacha. Because Isur Melacha is Chetzil Hashem. Right? It's all for the sake of God that we abstain from Melach. It doesn't help me in my Lachem. And if we organize or designate Purim as a day of Isur Melacha, then it loses its whole Hekera. In other words, it's no longer recognizably a day of Kulo Lachem, of a day of Olam Hazeh. It becomes more of a spiritual day of Olam Haba. And the Maral, in one of his writings in Tiferes Yisrael, he writes that if there was a day today, meaning Purim, that would have Kedusha, that would have sanctity, which means like any other yontif, it's asur b'malacha, then lo haya suda inyan gashmi legamri, then eating the suda would not be a physical celebration. It wouldn't be for the sake of the lachem, of the physical celebration, be rather for the kvod hayom, ulamaloso kedushas, because it has this mile of kedusha, that's why we're eating a suda. But we want the suda to be purely lachem, without the element of lamailas kvod kedushaso, and therefore, the day of Purim has no kedusha. It's just achilo shtia as an act of gashmi, as something that's physical. It's me'ein olam hazeh, which is this world is totally physical, and we're not going to inject into Purim any sort of nature of the day, a characteristic that's covered ayom malas kedushaso, because that would, in a sense, take away and diminish the concept of olam hazeh, of kulo lachem, of the gashmius of this world, and that's what Purim is all about. And if this be the case, then perhaps we can begin to understand the situation of a poor person. A poor person cannot enjoy the benefits of this world. Mm. Why? Because he has no funds. He has no possessions. And therefore, Eliphaz, he runs after Yaakov Avinu. He tries to kill him. And Yaakov says to Eliphaz, take all my money. Take all my possessions. Don't take my life. Why? Because Ani is Chashuv Kemes. It means that an Ani has no relationship to this world. So if your father Esav sent you on this mission to kill me and take away my Olam Hazeh, you don't have to physically kill me and murder me. All you have to do is take away my possessions, because an Ani is someone who doesn't have any part of Olam Hazeh. That's exactly what the mandate of Esav was all about. How could the Jewish people, how could Yaakov take Olam Hazeh? He has no right to Olam Hazeh. And therefore, Eliphaz, take away, says Yaakov, take away my Olam Hazeh, take away all my possessions, and then I become an Ani. If this be the case, we can understand why the day of Purim is a day of Matnas Avyonim. The Avyonim, the poor people, have no connection to this world. They can't afford or have the benefits of enjoying this world. And therefore, Olam Hazeh is taken away from them. And if the whole nature of Purim is to declare that we, the Jewish people, have Olam Hazeh, then we have to share that with the Avyonim. And therefore the mitzvah is, give the Avyonim something that would allow them, facilitate their ability to eat and drink on Purim, so they can get back Olam Hazeh, because the whole essence of Purim is to tell Esav and his descendants and Mamolek, don't think that you can rob us of Olam Hazeh. God has bestowed upon us Olam Hazeh, and we will enjoy this day as a day of Olam Hazeh. We saw in the Medrash that Esav was thinking to himself that Yaakov Avinu has no portion in Olam Hazeh. Maybe it was given to him as a schar. How do we understand this concept that the Jewish people, although their chelek in this deal is really Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, nevertheless, God bestows upon them Olam Hazeh as what? As a payment, as a reward, and God allows Yaakov to take the brachos from Yitzchak and enjoy the benefits and the blessings of Olam Hazeh. How do we understand that? In other words, the question that we're asking is, since these two worlds are so different, they're radically polar opposites. There's Olam Haba, which is not physical, and it's not there for pleasures of physicality, and yet there's Olam Hazeh. Why is it that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow gifts or blessings upon Yaakov, that he gives him Olam Hazeh? Why Olam Hazeh? It seems so, in a sense, irrelevant to Yaakov Avinu. The answer lies in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the 9th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lanu at Torah, Vivtichenu, she'im naso, so if we will fulfill the Torah, besimcha, ubetovas nefesh, v'nege b'chachmaso, if we'll dedicate ourselves constantly to work hard to understand the Torah, is yasir, we better call it dvar mamonim oso milasoso. There are many physical barriers that might prevent us and form impediments to our ability to dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah. Kigon, choli, milchama, ra'av, right? If a person is hungry, if a person is ill, rachman al-san, if he's out to battle, these are things that will make it impossible for him to dedicate himself to Torah. V'chayotzi b'zeh and other examples. Is therefore, yashpi alonu es kol atovos, God will give us all the physical comforts of this world, Hamachziko says Yodenu, which will strengthen our hands. Lasot b'Torah, to dedicate ourselves to Torah. Hashem will give us sova, will be satiated. Shalom, will live in peace. Ribui kesef hizav, will have enough funds, so that we don't have to worry during the entire lifetime about fundraising. Oh, I mean, I didn't mean that. about dedicating ourselves to things of physicality, to run after a buck, you know, and try to make a dollar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to facilitate our health and our wealth in such a way that we'll be free, Shendeshev Pnuyim, Lilmod Chachmasa, to dedicate ourselves without any distractions to the study of Torah and to Asiyas HaMitzvahs. In other words, God is giving us this world in order that we can achieve the next world. So it comes out that Zochim L'Shnei Olamos, we'll have both worlds, the next and this world. We'll have Chayim Tov B'Olam Hazeh, because that's going to facilitate our ability to achieve Chayim Olam Haba. Harei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noseinu Mashpia Lanu Es Kol HaTovos, what's the ultimate goal of giving us all the good and all the blessings of Olam Hazeh? It's in order that we should be able to achieve Olam Haba. This is what Esav is thinking. Esav is thinking that, wait a minute, Yaakov Avinu took what? What was his chelek? Was Olam Haba. Why is he ending up with Olam Hazeh? It must be a schar. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I want to be able to give you, Yaakov, a wonderful, endless and infinite portion in Olam Haba. So what am I going to give you? I'm going to give you Olam Hazeh. Now, it's not that I'm going to give you Olam Hazeh for the purpose of enjoying the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, and the bright, you know, the endless hedonistic pleasures, but rather, Raklit Tzorech Olam Haba. If you understand, Yaakov Avinu, what the purpose of these blessings in Olam Hazeh is, right? The purpose is. The purpose of Olam Hazeh for you, Yaakov, is so that you can have Olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll be mashpi on you all the Shef of Bracha in Olam Hazeh, and then you'll be Zocha, not only to Olam Hazeh, but also to Olam Haba. And that's what Eliphaz said, that we, the Jewish people, have inherited two worlds. And now if you're following in the text, we're up to page Shin Mem, and we're coming close to the end of this presentation. Yes?
It seems that Yaakov is willing to share his chelek also in Olam Hazeh. Because when he goes to meet Esav, he goes to chupit him and try and give him every...
Sure.
Lots of what he has.
Sure, because Yaakov Avinu feels that anything that he could do to appease Esav that would free him from the hatred of Esav and allow him to continue living and serving Hashem and dedicating himself to achieve Olam Haba, which is the real world, Yaakov Avinu makes a decision. What's worth more to him? If he dies, he won't be able to achieve all the merits of the mitzvahs and the Torah that'll give him Olam Haba. If he lives, so what is he willing to sacrifice? He's willing to sacrifice any physical possessions that he has for the sake of Olam Haba. I'm going to give you, Esav, you want to knock me off of Olam Hazeh. Right? You can't understand, you can't tolerate that I have Olam Hazeh. So you know what? I'll give you my Olam Hazeh. Take it as a package, as a gift. Package wrapped. Right? Gift wrapped gift. Why? Because what's important in my priorities is Olam Haba. So you know what, Esav? If this will appease you, take away my Olam Hazeh. That's what Yaakov Avinu said to Eliphaz, who came to kill him, B'tzivui Esav. He said, you know what? Ani Choshev Kemes, I'm going to give up my Olam Hazeh. Take all my possessions, and as if you've taken away this world from me, and that's exactly what your father is commanding you to do. His goal is to take away this world from me. So Yaakov Avinu is always willing to give up this world for the sake of the next world.
The difference was that with Esav, he would just have Olam Hazeh. He wouldn't be able to do anything with that to make it into achieve Olam Haba.
Right, he's given up his Olam Haba. Yaakov's not willing to split Olam Haba with him. But the other part of the Bechorah, which is Olam Hazeh, that's something that Esav is not willing. He says, how can you take that? I never wanted to give you Olam Hazeh. There's a mekach tos over here. This is a sale on false premises. But the answer is that Hashem guaranteed Yaakov Avinu as a schar Olam Hazeh. What's the point of giving Yaakov Olam Hazeh? It seems so antithetical to what Yaakov represents, his essence. The answer is the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva that the reason why God bestows upon us Olam Hazeh is because God wants to make us free of all the responsibilities and all the headaches and all the distractions that will rob us of the possibility of getting ourselves to Torah study. So if somebody comes to me and he says, Rabbi Berzon, you know what? Instead of teaching Torah, maybe you should go out and raise funds, right? So basically what he's saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give me the possibility of getting Olam Haba. Instead, he's going to distract me with Olam Hazeh. So what's going to be my response? I want to be like Yaakov Avinu. You take all of my Zeh. I want all of my Ba. That's my decision.
Okay, well, I agree with you, but I can see where you can. If you look at the Nazis in Mashama, they were prepared to murder Jews and lose the war.
You know who makes a big deal about that is Rav Sternbach.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Rav Sternbach's book in English? He didn't write it in English, I don't think, but it was translated from...
it's a book on all the different...
Different lectures that he has. Yeah, and I have it at home in Harnof. Yeah. One of the lectures is about the Holocaust. And he makes this point over and over again that the Nazis were losing the war, and instead of directing funds and troops in order to fight the battle at the front, they wanted to kill as many Jews as they could.
It was the same with Haman. He was prepared to give up everything. You see it all along, and the Jews were prepared to give up to appease. I mean, Yaakov, and
right.
He said, right through history, we kind of appease all the goyim or the
right. Give them the gashmis. Give them the physical.
Give them the physical.
But that's what he says before that. As far as Hamolik is concerned, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. I want to destroy the Jewish people, even for me, my own self destruction. They are so dedicated to the hatred to the Jew. They'll even be willing to give up their own lives for the sake of the hatred of the Jew.
The Arabs are the same way. Yishmaelim.
I'm not sure. I don't know about Yishmaelim. I don't know if they're willing to... maybe, there are Yishmaelim that maybe are Amalekim too,
Yeah. It's all mixed up.
Yeah.
The Ush says they existentially believe that we always trick them, that we would trick them.
Again, Esav's hatred against Yaakov is because Yaakov takes Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. How can he get both? There's an element of mirma here in the way that Yaakov, in the way that Esav in his mind is thinking about Yaakov. He's thinking, you know what? What's he saying? He's saying to Yitzchak Avinu, he's saying, I'm the Bechor.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you're the Bechor? But the answer is, and Esav realizes this in one part of his brain, Yaakov is the Bechor because Yaakov bought the Bechorah.
Mm-hmm.
But Esav says, no, when I agreed to sell the Bechorah, what I had in mind is just you know, to give you all of my bar. You know, you take the all of my bar. Vayivez Esav is a Bechorah. Esav wants this world. And now, you, Yaakov Avinu, are claiming rights to the Bechorah, as we said before, as a package deal, even as far as Olam Hazeh, that I can't tolerate. But it's so fascinating now that in the context of Amalek, we begin to appreciate what Purim is all about. That Purim is Kulo Lachem. Why? Because this is the day in which we are going to declare that Hashem gave us this world as well. And you want to rob us and rip us, rip away from us this world, Hashem is giving us this world. And if the Aniyim, the Avyonim, are not able to celebrate Purim in this world because they're poor, we're going to have to give them a Sudas Purim. We have to give them the ability to enjoy this world. You know, my father used to tell the story that he spent one summer in some sort of a bungalow colony. Again, that would be your winter, but for us it's the summer, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he was with one of the members of his synagogue, who was quite a wealthy gentleman, and he had never gotten a chance really to get to know him. My father's feeling about this gentleman was that he probably came from good stock in terms of Yiddishkeit, from the old country, he was a Yiddish speaker, but somehow when he got to America, with all the, you know, the challenge, the allurement of reaching the top in business, he dropped his Yiddishkeit on the way. So my father, in the course of conversation with this gentleman over the course of some period of time, he turns to him and he says to him, you know, it's really nice that you've been such a successful businessman, you made your mark here in industry here in America, but you know, what about Yiddishkeit? You know, you don't come to shul. I hardly see you even on a yontif. So the man, in order to justify himself, he says to my father, you know, Rabbi, when Yaakov wants to appease Esav, he sends him all these camels and he calls him Adoni Esav and he bows down to him. And the pasuk says, "Minikol haba biyada." So this gentleman was so proud of himself that he remembered something from the cheder that he went to in Europe, you know, 50 or 100 years ago, and he was able to quote scriptures. So my father told me the following. He said, "Every proof that this man brought to excuse his laxity, his laid back attitude towards Yiddishkeit, was a proof against him. He was really condemning himself." Rashi says on the pasuk kol habol yodi min achulin velo min akodshim. I'm willing to give you camels, I'm willing to give you sheep, Esav, whatever it takes to appease you. This man tried to show, based on Yaakov, that I had to find favor in the eyes of the goyim, and to appease them I became part of their society, and I went to their parties, and this, that, and the other thing. And Yaakov did the same thing for Esav. It's just the opposite. What Yaakov was saying to Esav, remember, you know, Esav sends the messages to Yaakov and he says, you know, Lemi calls there, who does this belong to? And Chazal say that Yaakov said that I am Yaakov. And my essence is that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to serve Hashem. You know what I'm going to give you, Esav? I'm going to give you all the physicality. That you can take. And you, if my father says, if I were at liberty to say it to him, I would say that you just did the opposite. You were willing to give up on all the spiritual treasures of Yiddishkeit. And instead, all you wanted was the chulin. You wanted to make it big in business. And you sent your kids to the fanciest summer camps. And you gave them fat allowances. And you gave them entrance into the colleges and the universities and paid their tuition. Wonderful! But what did you leave for them in terms of spirituality?
Nothing.
Nothing. Did you give them a shul? Did you give them a school? Did you give them Torah study? Did you give them anything of Yiddishkeit? Nothing. You did the exact opposite of Yaakov. Whereas Yaakov put the priorities on the spiritual and he gave up on all the physical, that was his appeasement to be. You did the exact opposite. You're willing to forego and forfeit all the spiritual treasures for the sake of the physical.
Wow.
Let's take a look here on page Shin Mem. They're about to blow the whistle here of Meiriv. We have maybe 2 minutes left. And he says the following, that when does Yaakov Avinu suffer from Esav? When throughout Jewish history does Esav come and Amalek come and attack us? So the answer is, right, you have it? Vayilochem im Yisrael berfidim. Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, that Sharafu Yudeya min HaTorah. At the very moment that Klal Yisrael is saying, we're not going to use this wonderful opportunity that Hashem gave us to study Torah and to get Achelik in Olam Haba, at that point, Amalek says that you have no right to exist. And Amalek appears. And here he quotes the Rambam again in Hilchos Tshuva in the ninth parak. Kfar hodiyenu batorah, shim nazov hatorah midas, v'nasok behevli hazman. Is then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom yasir kol hatovo shel olam hazeh. All the tovos that God gave us in Olam Hazeh was to facilitate that we would dedicate ourselves to Torah, to mitzvahs, to Olam Haba. If we fail to do so, then Hashem says, you don't deserve all these tovos. And therefore God brings upon us, maybe aleihem kol haros, kigon choli, umulchama, v'rav, hamonim osam. You know, I was preventing you and saving you from all these tzaras so that you could dedicate yourself to Olam Haba. And instead, so then I'm not going to save you. And therefore, these molchomos, these battles against Amalek are going to come to plague us. And therefore, we begin to understand, if you could open the door, Binyamin, maybe we'll know whether they're ready for, yeah, they're ready for Myra. Okay, so we'll take, says, that now we begin to understand the Shoresh HaDover, that Klal Yisrael, Rafu Yedei Min HaTorah, they were interested in dedicating their energies instead of Olam Haba, in Olam Hazeh. They complained about the water, about the meat, about the man itself, they complained. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them a milchama, a battle against Amalek. Limno osam, what's Amalek's purpose? To take and rip away from them Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh as well. And therefore, whenever Klal Yisrael were rough in your day, and that was the concept that we discussed about Makas Mardus, Hashem brings about a situation where we have no schus in Olam Hazeh, because all of Olam Hazeh was only meant to facilitate our Olam Haba. We've given up on that. And therefore, if we have no schus in Olam Hazeh, then we're going to suffer. Therefore, Mordechai and Esther, when Klal Yisrael were laid back about Torah, as the Gemara says in Megillah, Sha'asku binyonei aguf, and they were nene misudosu shalach Hashverosh, then Amalek, then Haman comes, and he's going to try to take away their lives in this world. They are forfeiting their right to Olam Hazeh. And that's what Yitzhak said, V'hoya shekasher torid uparakta olo mi'al tzavarecha. Meaning, when they'll be merape es atzma min haTorah, then you have a tviya, you Esav will have a claim against their Olam Hazeh, because they only deserve Olam Hazeh because it's going to set him on the track to Olam Haba. Now, what is Yom HaKippurim? Yom HaKippurim we think of as a day of tshuva and slicha, but it's more than that. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechta Tainis that Yom Chasunoso, the day of Matan Torah, is the day of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the second set of luchos were brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of Matan Torah, placed upon the Jewish people Har Kigigis. And he said, if you'll be makabel the Torah, good. If not, the Har is going to fall and then you'll be buried there. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, Mikan Modor Rabbe Lo Raisa. We really were forced, so to speak, compelled to accept the Torah.
Oh, they did it right after the story of Purim.
Excellent. that at the time of the Ness of Achashverosh, when Hashem saved them, they accepted the Torah again. So we see clearly that Purim has to do with Kabbalah HaTorah. Now the Tanchuma tells us that why was it that Hashem felt He had to put the mountain over their head at the time of Har Kigigas? And the reason is because of the difficulty of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is murder. It requires a tremendous amount of amelus and yigiyah. You have to give up on havle olam hazeh. You have to give up on this world for the sake of Torah Shebaal Peh if you really want to make a kinyan. And the Beis Halevi says that there's a fundamental difference between the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos. The first set of luchos was only Torah Shebichsav. The second set of luchos was Torah Shebaal Peh. Therefore, with regard to the second set of luchos, the day in which we commemorate the giving of that set of luchos is Yom HaKippurim. That's the day in which we celebrate Torah Shebaal Peh. But on Torah Shebaal Peh, at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, the second set of luchos, there was Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigas because of all the yigiyah and the tzar that's necessary to acquire Torah. And therefore, when it comes to Purim, Purim is the day in which, because we love Hashem out of the miracle that He did to spare us, we're willing to give up on Olam Hazeh, to dedicate ourselves to the Torah. Which Torah? The Torah that we refused and we only accepted under compulsion of Har Kigigas, that's the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, they're willing to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh out of a sense of love, out of a sense of joy, and dedicate themselves to Torah Shebaal Peh. And if that be the case, we begin to understand how and why Purim is the Hashlama. It completes Yom HaKippurim. It's really one long holiday that's made up of 2 days. The Tzuras of Yom Kippur is Kulal Hashem. The Tzura of Purim is Kulal Hashem. But together, they form one indivisible entity, one Yontif. And fundamentally what it means is Yom HaKippurim is the Yontif of Torah Shebaal Peh, of receiving Torah Shebaal Peh. But that's the Torah Shebaal Peh of Yigia, of Tsar, in which we have to work so hard, we have to give up on Olam Hazeh, it's all Kulal Hashem, it's going to be Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigas. But you know what? If it's Kulal Hashem, it's very difficult to really enjoy Torah and achieve Torah. We need also something in Olam Hazeh, some sort of an element that will strengthen us and allow us to be physically strong and satiated, so that we can dedicate ourselves to Torah and Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore we need the tziruf of Purim to Yom HaKippurim. Purim represents that chelek of Torah Shebaal Peh in which we accept it willingly. Hashem grants us all the physical abilities and gifts, and He bestows upon us whatever we need in order to strengthen ourselves physically and emotionally and spiritually, and therefore dedicate ourselves to Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore Purim becomes a day of Kulo Lachem. So we have the Kulo Lachem of Yom HaKippurim together with the Kulo Lachem of Purim, and together they form one entity that Amir Hashem will bring us to Chai Olam Haba, Ashreinu, Matov Kol Shem.